Amen. Who is Jesus? Somebody say, who is Jesus? Well, let me tell you what we've learned so far. We've learned Jesus is, you know what, our soon coming King. How many know Jesus is going to come back soon? Okay. How many know Jesus is our Savior? We learned Jesus is our Savior. Aren't you glad that Jesus saves us? And it provided for us salvation, that we could come into his family. Jesus is our healer. Somebody say, he's our healer. Thank you, God. We're not, listen, I'm not against doctors. I'm not against nurses. But you know what? I recognize in the Word of God that he bore our sicknesses and carried our diseases. That comes right out of the Word of God. So you know what? Because he's bore our sicknesses and carried our diseases, we can walk in divine healing. And I thank God. He is our healer. Somebody say, he's my healer. He is our example. Oh, aren't you glad that we have an example in Jesus Christ? And he's not only tells us what to do, he shows us what to do. Pastor, what are you going to talk about today? I'm going to talk about Jesus Christ is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. Oh, I said he's the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. He is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. Look, and we have it here up on the screens. Look at what Matthew chapter 3, verse 11 says. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11 says this. I indeed baptized you with water unto repentance. This John the Baptist was saying this. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. I will baptize you. He will baptize you with what? With the Holy Spirit in fire. Who is he that John the Baptist is talking about? He's talking about Jesus. Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to talk about this first because I want you to understand. You say, oh, Pastor, I know why you're teaching that. You're teaching that because you are Pentecostal. That's how come you're teaching that, because you're one of those crazy Pentecostals. Well, you're probably right on that case. But that's not why I'm teaching you this. See, we need to understand. We need to stop sectioning off the body of Christ. We need to, are y'all here today? We need to stop sectioning off the body of Christ. We need to stop sectioning off the Word of God. We need to receive all the Word of God. Can somebody say amen to this? Listen, this is in the Bible. John prophetically said, let me tell you what, there's one whom I'm not worthy to take. You know what? Somebody said, Pastor, why you wear sandals? Because I'm biblical, okay? This is biblical. Trying to be biblical, showing you how to, okay. So my point is, though, you know what? No. This is in the Word of God. John prophetically said that Jesus Christ is going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. I want to talk about that today because Jesus is the baptizer of the Holy Spirit. Now, let me just do a quick survey. How many of you, and everybody got to participate, okay? If you're alive, raise your hand. Raise your hand if you're alive. Okay, can the ushers, anybody who doesn't have their hand, can you get them out of here? Because okay, no, raise your hand if you're alive. Come on, raise your hand if you're alive. Everybody got to participate, okay? So how many of you came from a Baptist background? You went to Baptist. Raise your hand real high. You went to Baptist church growing up. Okay, growing up you came to. Okay, wow. I got my hand up. Okay, how many of you came from a Catholic background? Raise your hand if you came. Oh man, we got a lot of Catholics. You know, Mary spoke in tongues. Oh, say amen to this. I'm telling you, Mary spoke in tongues. So how do you know that? She was one of the 120 that were in the upper room, and the Bible says that the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they all spoke in tongues. Thank you, Jesus. Mary spoke in tongues. I'm just telling you, amen. Some of you didn't even know that, did you? Wow, I never knew that. No, Mary spoke in tongues. Praise God. How many come from a, Foursquare, Assembly of God, some kind of Pentecostal background? Raise your hand if you came. Okay. How many come from the honky-tonk bar background? Raise your hand if on Sunday you just were in the honky-tonk in the bars. Okay, raise it. Come on, some of you. Okay. Okay. Somebody say, I've been redeemed. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, somebody say, I've been redeemed. Thank you, Jesus. Here's what I want to let you know. I came from a Baptist background, and I learned so many wonderful foundational principles. I accepted Jesus in my Baptist church growing up. My father was a Baptist minister all his life. He loved Jesus with all his heart. You know what? Having said that, I didn't learn about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So what I'm saying to you is many of you came from a Catholic background and you didn't learn this. Some of you came from, listen to me, all you Pentecostals, okay? There is so much bad information about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit used, and specifically speaking in tongues, you know what, that we have learned from just listen, a tradition of men is a tradition of men. Whether it's Baptist, whether it's Foursquare, whether it's Assembly of God, whether it's Catholic, whether it's honky-tonk. Do you understand? It's all, and the tradition of men will cause the Word of God, the Bible says, to have no effect in your life. So I'm asking you, can you allow me to teach the Word of God today? I said, can you allow me to teach the Word of God? What do I mean by that? You said, Pastor, I'm not stopping you. No, no, no. When I say, can you allow me to teach the Word of God? Understand, if the Word of God is going to go forth, it's got to be two aspects of it. One, me preaching, and two, you listening. I'm going to preach. That's my half. Will you listen? And when I say listen, I mean that you're not thinking about the burrito that you're going to have when you get out of here. Come on, somebody shout amen. You know, some of you last week, you didn't even catch the Word of God because you were too busy thinking about the, you know, carne asada or the pizza. No, no. Look at your neighbor and say, focus this week. And not only hear what the Word of God is saying, but have an attitude to receive the Word of God. Okay. And to receive it, sometimes it might be crosswise to what you've learned before. But I promise you, I won't teach you anything that I don't teach it right out of the Word of God. That's one of the reasons I want you to bring your Bibles. But one of the reasons why we have it here on the screen is because I want you to see. Okay. This is Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. John the Baptist said, Jesus is going to come and he is going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Well, we don't believe that in our, you know what, in our institution. Well, God help you. Really, God help you. Because this is a major component of our Christianity that God wants us to walk in. All right. How many ready to receive today? Amen. Some of you are already baptized in the Holy Spirit and you've already spoken in tongues. Oh, Pastor, you're not going to talk about tongues because tongues are all those crazy tongue talkers. Well, let me introduce myself. I'm Pastor Drew. I'm one of those crazy tongue talkers. Just so you know. But I want to show you in the Word of God how it's not something that you need to be afraid of. It's something that is a blessing. Think about this. It is a gift from the Holy Spirit. Are you hearing me? It's a gift from the Holy Spirit. Oh, who doesn't want a gift from the Holy Spirit? Oh, my goodness. It will revolutionize your life. And some of you haven't ever been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Some of you haven't, you know, speaking in tongues. Many of you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, but speaking in tongues isn't something that you do on a consistent basis. Some of you got baptized in the Holy Spirit, you know what, at youth camp in, you know what, in 1903, and you still don't, you know what I mean? No. Okay. So whether you haven't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you don't speak in tongues, or whether you have and you don't speak in tongues because you just don't, you're just too busy doing other stuff. Or maybe you're baptized in the Holy Spirit and you speak in tongues, but I'm going to show you some things in a deeper understanding that you're going to walk in today. Okay? How many ready to receive today? Yeah. Okay, so first of all, I want you to understand Jesus is the baptizer. We get that right out of the Bible. I could show it to you a lot of places, but don't have time. Just show it to you in one. But John the Baptist said Jesus is the, he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Okay. My first point, being baptized in the Holy Spirit is, I have all caps, very important. Somebody say very important. Okay. And I'm not going to tell you, this is really important. I'm going to say it, but I'm going to prove it to you in the Word of God. Turn with me to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. Again, we have it up here on the screens. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart. This is Jesus Christ commanding them not to depart from Jerusalem, but wait. Somebody say, wait. For the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. He's saying, I want you guys to wait. He commands them. Do you see this? And he's there and he commands them, don't go anywhere until this happens. Why? Because it's really, really important. It's really, really important. Too many churches just gloss over this like it's not a big deal. Like it's not a big deal. It is a big deal. And I have the boldness to tell you it's a big deal. But more importantly than that, I have the boldness to show you that it's a big deal. Jesus said, don't leave here until, you know what, you receive this, what has been promised to you. Luke chapter 4, verse 29. Behold, I sent the promise of the Father upon you, but tarry in the city. Tarry just means don't leave. Stay right there in the city of Jerusalem until you have... you are endued. That means just you are clothed or empowered with power on high. The reason why this is so important is when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, there's this power that comes upon you that is different than before. Somebody say different than before. Here we see, here's what we see. We see Peter. Peter, this is even after the after Jesus, you know what, was raised from the dead. We see Peter before Jesus had been with Peter, and yet after 3 years of being with Jesus, Peter denies Jesus three times at one of the most important times in his life, and then after, somebody say after. Then after, you know what, the apostles are meeting, but they're meeting behind closed doors. We see this over and over again, and Peter is not walking in boldness. He's walking in fear, and we see the fear that he's walking in. But something happened. Say, something happened. And after Peter gets baptized by the Holy Spirit, the tongues of fire rest on each one of those people. I'll show it to you. Peter was one of those. He stands up, and led by the Holy Spirit, he starts preaching. And that day that he started preaching, you know what? You read what he starts, what he's preaching. He's preaching the gospel. He's preaching to mainly Jewish people that the Messiah has come. Think about this for a minute. They killed Jesus. The Jews killed, the Jewish rulers killed Jesus. He's going to stand up and preach in the same city and say, let me tell you what, Jesus is the Messiah. And he's not afraid anymore. He's empowered. Before or after? Somebody say after. He was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now he stands up. And even though eventually Peter, how many know Peter would lose his life? But he didn't care. It didn't make any difference. He was anointed with power because he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Jesus knows how important this is. And Jesus says, don't leave until this happens. Are you learning something today? Okay. And then I already quoted to you, or already showed you Matthew chapter 3, verse 1, Jesus says, John the Baptist says, Jesus is going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Acts chapter 2, look at this, one more. Acts chapter 2, look at verse 15. Acts chapter 2, look at verse 15. The baptism of the Holy Spirit has just come. The tongues of fire rested on all of them. And look what it says. For these are not drunk. They thought they were drunk. They started speaking in tongues. And all these people are like, oh, these guys are drunk. Let me tell you what. People will accuse you of all kinds of crazy things when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit and you start speaking in tongues. We need to not be afraid of what people say. We need to not be afraid that they call us crazy, Pentecostals, or whatever they come up. It doesn't make any difference. And here they're calling them, you know, and, oh, these guys are just drunk, as you suppose. For these are not drunk as you suppose. We're not drunk, since it is only the third hour of the day. I found that funny. It's like, yeah, we get drunk, but not this early. Okay. That's his argument. I'm not saying that he got drunk. I'm just saying it's a funny argument. You know what I mean? Verse 16, but this is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God. Well, you know what, Pastor? I'm just different. No, listen to what was spoken by the prophet. This was spoken by the prophet Joel. Look it. That I will pour out on my spirit on how many flesh? All you Catholics, you can receive the Holy Spirit. All you Baptists, you can receive the Holy Spirit. All you Pentecostals, you can receive the Holy Spirit. All you honky-tonkers, you can receive the Holy Spirit. Amen. See, this is for everybody. Amen. Everyone. Well, you know, in our denomination, we just stick with Jesus. Jesus is the one who said, you know what? This is the Word of God. All the Word of God is inspired by God. Amen. I will pour out on my spirit and all flesh your sons and your daughters. Somebody say sons and daughters. See, God is not a respecter of, you know what, of persons. Sons and daughters. Watch this. Well, shall prophesy. And your men shall see visions and your old men. Oh, yeah, but Pastor, I'm too old for this. No, you're not. Oh, but Pastor, I'm too young for this. No, you're not. I'm going to tell you the story. At 17 years old, right over here in this grass, Jesus baptized me by the power of the Holy Spirit. He baptized me with the Holy Spirit and with fire. I was young. I don't care whether you're young or whether you're old. This was prophesied. This is for young people. This is for old people. This is for men, this is for women, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and on your maid servants, and on your men servants, and on your maid servants. See, let me tell you, ladies, God is not trying to hold you back. God is for you. I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show them wonders in heaven above and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. God is looking to do supernatural things. This is important to Him. Do not leave until you receive the gift that was promised to you. Amen. Amen. See, one of the reasons I want to preach this is because you need to understand that you can move in two powers. You can move in your power, or you can move in the Holy Spirit's power. I don't know about you. I don't want to move in my own power. I don't want to try to minister to you in my own power. I'm not smart enough. I'm not intelligent enough. I'm not anything enough. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, how many ever been here and you're like, Pastor, you know, I don't know, you know, somebody been telling you about my life. I've never been here and been told, it's like I'm read your mail. Raise your hand if that's you. You don't want over and over and over. How does that happen? Doesn't happen because of my great, you don't want sermon skills. It happens by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. See, how many want to be effective in ministry? Man, I want to be effective in ministry. And in just in life, how many know? You said, but Pastor, I'm not a pastor. Well, are you a parent? Can God empower you by the Holy Spirit to be a good parent? Can you imagine trying to parent by yourself? No, you need to be born again and you need to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. My second point, my first point, it's very important, very important. My second point, but I was taught that you receive the Holy Spirit when you become a Christian. I was taught that you receive the Holy Spirit when you're a Christian. Okay. Well, is that true? Yeah, it is absolutely true. It's absolutely true. But like I taught when I taught you that by His stripes we're healed, that Jesus is the healer. How many know? You know, that two things can be true. So here's how I like to say it. When you get born again, you receive the Holy Spirit, but you still need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And there's so many people that just say, no, and they can point out scriptures, and I agree with those scriptures. But let me show you a couple of scriptures that make it absolutely clear. Well, I've already shown you one. When those 120 were in the upper room, for sure, 12 of them were already born again. Probably all of them were born again, but for sure 12 were. So these people who have already been born again, the apostles, already received the Holy Spirit, they still need to be baptized by the Holy Spirit. That's why I said, don't leave there. Remember when Jesus, before this, He says He breathed on them? Jesus are already, they're already all became born again. So if it's all the same, why does Jesus tell them not to leave? You know why? Because it's not the same. It's a second work. I'll show it to you again. Look in Acts chapter 8. Look at Acts chapter 8. And starting with verse 13. Acts chapter 8, starting with verse 13. Then Simon himself also believing, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip, and was amazed seeing the miracles and the signs which were done. Next verse. Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. Now, stop here. Had these people at Samaria already received the word of God? Yeah. Are they already saved? Yeah. They already received the word of God. Okay. And when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them, watch this, that they might receive the what? That they might receive the Holy Spirit. Somebody say, second work. That they might receive the Holy Spirit. Next verse. As yet he had fallen upon none of them, they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. I mean, how much clearer can you have than that? You know, it's interesting to me because I was thinking about this just yesterday, and I was thinking about, when, you know what? This second work that is done called the baptism of the Holy Spirit, second work. And I thought, you know what? Why did God choose to first fill you with the Holy Spirit and then you get baptized in the Holy Spirit? And I was you know what, thinking of this, and I thought, you know what, and I was going to have you ask that question. Yeah, Pastor, that's a good question. Well, here's what I want you to do. When you get to heaven, ask him. Ask him. See, God's ways aren't your ways. Is that true? I said, God's ways aren't our ways. See, we might do it all in once, but God said, I ain't going to do it all in once. I want you to be baptized in the Holy Spirit after you've been born again. Okay. But I was thinking about it deeper, and I thought, you know what? Oh, my goodness. Isn't that how the Holy Spirit works? Isn't that how God works? Isn't our Christianity about going from a good place to a better place? And as I was thinking about this, I thought, that's the character of God, is it not? That you go, how many ever been in a good place and you got in a better place? Come on, somebody. How many ever been in a good place and you went to a better place? We did a memorial service and recently, and a bunch of the ladies, and ladies, it could have been gentlemen too, I don't know, but, made all kinds of food, right? And somebody brought me a plate with all kinds of different foods, different dishes. And I took a bite of this one thing and I was like, oh, that is good. That is so good. What memorial was that? Whose memorial was that? Oh, it was Tamara's mom. Oh my goodness. And I didn't eat breakfast on purpose, you know what I mean? Because I knew there was gonna be some good food. Well, I tasted somebody's food. I was like, oh, that is good. Oh, that's good. You know what I mean? I'm not really very risky as far as my food. Okay. How many know that about me? I'm not very risky in my food. Okay. I'm not adventure. Well, I call it risky. Notice that, you know what I mean? From the heart, the mouth speaks. So I'm not very adventuresome with food. Well, Laura was gracious to bring me two plates with just different stuff. So I was like, you know, oh, well, okay, I'll try this. I'm like, oh, that is good. That is good. And then I ate like all of that because it was good. And then I ate something else, and I was like, I'm not judging you, okay? We're not doing a ranking. Whose was better, Pastor? No, you're all after the service. Whose did you eat first? I want to know whose you ate first. Just calm down, okay? Calm down with your ungodly self, okay? So then I ate something else. And when I ate something else, I go, oh, you think that was good? This is really good. And then I tried something else, and I was like, oh, my goodness. This is better than that. Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, somebody. Help me out. And then I brought what Tamara ate, and I was like, oh, this is the best. But my point is, how many know we can go from a good place to a better place? How many know we can go from a good place to a better place? That's what the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we're not saying, you know what? We're not saying that you don't have the Holy Spirit. If you're born again, without a doubt, it's throughout the Word of God, you have the Holy Spirit. But Jesus, these men were baptized. These men were saved. They had the Holy Spirit, but Jesus still says, don't go anywhere until something else is going to happen. It's something else, and it's a good thing. And I was thinking of the character of God. That's how God works. That's how God's, but I thought, well, hey, let's lean not onto our own understanding. Amen. How many like my picture today? But I thought. Amen. My last one, I'll show it to you again. This is probably the most powerful one because it's so direct. Acts chapter 19, look at verses 1 through 6. Acts chapter 19, look at verses 1 through 6. So clear. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus and finding some disciples. Everybody say that with me. And finding some disciples. Come on, everybody say this. And finding some disciples. What's he talking about? He's talking about Christians, people that were born again already. Look at this. And it finding some disciples, next verse, said to them, watch this, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Who said that? The Apostle Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament. That's who said that. Why is John, you know what, leaving Jerusalem, going to Samaria? Why? Because he wants to make sure that these people who are born again are baptized in the Holy Spirit. Why am I teaching you this to you today? Because I want to make sure. I can't force people to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I guarantee you, we're not going to put you in a small little room and lock the door and get a bunch of ladies over you going, I promise that ain't going to happen. But Pastor, that's how I received the Holy Spirit when I was a kid. Yeah, I believe it, but it's okay. You don't want, the Holy Spirit is a gentle Holy Spirit. We don't have to, you know, people, you know, we've done so many crazy things. Amen? We don't have to minister the Holy Spirit that way. We can just teach people, you know what, and believe. Why? Because Jesus is the baptizer and the Holy Spirit. But Pastor, you know what? You're talking about being baptized in the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. See, Pastor, you don't understand. Listen to me. Listen to me, every single one of you. But Pastor, you don't understand. I haven't received that gift. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I haven't received that gift. It's not my gift. That is not my gifting. I can't tell you how many teachers I've heard stand up in the pulpit and declare to everybody listening that that wasn't their gift. That's so weird. That's so weird. Because over and over and over in the Word of God, the Bible says, well, can I just show it to you? Pastor, but it's not my gift. Whoa. Just hold off, Jackson. Okay. Maybe somebody told you something wrongly. Here, let me ask you a question. This is deep. Could it be that maybe you don't know everything? Could it be? Could it be? Is that possible? Heaven is going to pass away, but the Word of God is never going to pass away. Let me tell you something more sure than you is the Word of God. Let me just tell you something more accurate. And I'm not trying to be confrontational, but I'm trying to say, you know what? Pride is a big problem in the body of Christ. And there's all kinds of crazy theology like that one. But Pastor, that's not my gift. I'm going to show you in the Word of God that Jesus himself said that this gift of tongues is for anybody who will believe. You argue all you want, but I ain't arguing with Jesus theology. Amen? Amen? Oh, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 through 10. I'm going to go through just some verses real quick. I want to show it to you real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 through 10. Look what it says. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So the one verse that people misunderstand is this verse. Watch this. And are y'all with me today? Yes. Can I go deeper? Can you handle some theology here? I said, can you handle some theology here? Yes. You can't take one verse in the Bible and build a doctrine out of it. in any doctrine. But especially you can't do that when one verse says this and eight verses say the opposite. Is somebody here today? And you're going to stay on this one verse. Now, let me just ask you, what is more likely that's going on? That all eight verses of this are wrong? Or that you're misunderstanding this one verse? See, it's so interesting to me because when I talk to people about this, they always want to go to the one verse. I think, why in the world? And non-intelligent people will argue that verse with them. Well, let's go over to these other eight verses. What about all those verses? See, I would argue and say, these verses are all right, and you're just misunderstanding this one verse. Because how many know God doesn't say something different in Matthew than he says in Mark, than he says in Luke, than he says in Corinthians, than he says in Philippians? Are y'all here today? Are y'all here back there? Y'all, are you with me? Are you with me here? Okay, just, you know what? I need to make sure the back people are still with me, amen? You know, I love the front people, but I love the back people too. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Watch this. Watch this. Next verse. For the one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit and to another word of knowledge through the same Spirit. Just stop here. So they use this verse to say, yes, hallelujah. And I wasn't given that tongues. Let me tell you what Paul is saying here. He's talking about the manifestation is talking about in the church. He's talking about in a church service. He's writing the Corinthians who are crazy in the service. Somebody say they're crazy in the service. You know what? Imagine coming in. You come to service, and we ain't gonna have no worship. All we're gonna have is me. I'm just over here. Oh, rabagi sheboro, eh, rabagi shebori abia, oh, rabagi. And George is oh, rabagi shebo, rabagi sheboram, and Tamar shebo, radadege. And Pastor George is oh, rabagi she. And we do this for an hour and a half. And then when we're done, we don't even say, okay, bye-bye. We're like, oh, rabage. And you're like, whoa, what was that? What was that? Are we done now? Okay. And you walk away and you don't understand what's going on. You're not edified. You're not built up. Why? Because you don't understand what I said. That's the church he's writing. And in the midst of that correction, everybody say correction. He says, let me tell you what, there's these manifestations that are given for the benefit of all. For the benefit of all. For the benefit of all. Did you see that? For the benefit of all. What's he talking about? You've got to take the scripture in context. You've got to understand what he's saying. You can't take this one scripture and say, see, I haven't been given. That's not my gift. No, you're misunderstanding the word of God. Now, can I show you some other verses? I showed you the one. Now I'm going to show you, I don't think I'll have time to show you eight, but I'm going to show you several. Okay, does that make sense? And now that you've, you guys are good. And now that you've, okay, I'll show you the eight. No, I don't have time. But now that, watch this. But now that you understand the one, see, it all makes sense together. Are you learning something? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. Oh, no. 1 Corinthians 14:5. Sorry. Moving right along. 1 Corinthians 14:5. First Corinthians 14:5. This is the Apostle Paul. Look what he says. And I wish that just some of you would receive tongues. Is that what he says? See, why in the world, think about this, going back to that one verse, manifestation is given, talking about in a service. Why would Paul say this? If some are given tongues, but some can't get it, why would he say that? No. Paul understands what Jesus said, that these tongues will follow those who believe in my name. I wish that all spoke in tongues, but even more that they prophesied. Oh, see, even more that they prophesied. People focus on this. Hey, the second thing doesn't take away the first thing. Somebody say, the second thing doesn't take away the first thing. Paul would prefer that you be able, and there's a verse here, I don't have time to show it to you, but what he really wants you to do is pray in tongues and then be able to prophesy. That's what he wants you really to be able to do. But I want to make this point. I wish all spoke with tongues. That's what I want. I want everybody to speak in tongues. And then Mark. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 through 18. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel of every creature. Watch this. Somebody say every creature. So everybody, watch this. Every Christian. Next verse. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, and he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow. Who do they follow? Now, I want to say this. If that one verse was accurate, if what those people are saying, that some get it and some don't, then obviously somebody didn't tell Jesus this. Hello? I'm being sarcastic. No. This is a misunderstanding of one verse. And all these other verses point out that anyone who believes can receive, be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and speak in tongues. And these signs will follow those who believe. Pastor, I don't believe in that tongue stuff. Okay, well, I've got an extra ticket to the Dodger game today. Right behind home plate, very first row. Okay? And I want somebody to go with me. I don't believe that. All right. Then you ain't going with me, are you? Right? You ain't going with me. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, actually, that's a bad example because I don't have a ticket. Okay? That's a bad example. I'll say it like this. I get a better example. I got candy in my office. I don't believe you got candy. Okay, then you ain't going to get no candy in my office. Okay? But if you believe, amen, if you believe, see, belief is a key. How many know this? How many been with me this week through the study of Hebrews? You know why the people didn't go into the promise? Here. Oh, my God. I'm going to show it to you. Come on, how many came to receive something from God? How come the people did not go into the promised land? Because, Pastor, it's not my gift, and it's because they weren't called. Oh, read your Bible. Read your Bible. Can I show it to you? Yes. Hebrews, come on, your Bibles ought to fall right to Hebrews, right? Why? Because that's where we've been all week. Hebrews. now I gotta find it. Oh yeah, there we go. Hebrews. Pastor Paul, can you help me? It's chapter 6-ish. It says that they have not entered because of their unbelief. Oh, 3. Okay. Thank you. Yeah. Okay, great. Thank you. Hebrews 3:19. Let's take it from 17. Look what it says. Oh, yeah. Thank you. Go to verse 12. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. You know what unbelief, the Bible calls it? An evil heart. Now go down and look at verse 18. To whom did he swear that they should not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? Watch, look at verse 19. For we see that they could not enter because of unbelief. Why didn't they enter? Find where it says that it was given to them before the foundations of the world. I thought it was the first verse, but I didn't see it. I'll find it, but I'll quote it to you. The Bible said that it was God's will that the Israelites go into the promised land, and that this was ordained before the foundations of the world. Oh, is that what it's? Yeah. Look at chapter 4. Well, therefore, since a promise remains of entering rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have fallen short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as for them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, watch this, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. Pastor, I don't believe that. I don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I don't believe in speaking in tongues. The word is preached, but it's got to be mixed. Not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. See, you know what I believe? I believe that you're here and that you believe the Word of God. I believe that you want everything that God wants for you. You say, Pastor, what is the big deal about tongues? Why is that so important? You know, Paul says, don't forbid anybody not to pray in tongues. You know, he says that in 1 Corinthians. You know what he also says? He says, I pray in tongues more than all of you. Let me tell you about tongues. You know what? I pray in tongues. My wife prays in tongues. Pastor Paul prays in tongues. George prays in tongues. Isabel prays in tongues. You know what? Angel prays in tongues. You know what? Georgie prays in tongues. Pastor Shayla prays in tongues. Reinhard Bonnke prays in tongues or prayed in tongues. Catherine Kuhlman prayed in tongues. Amy Semple McPherson prayed in tongues. Robert Morris prays in tongues. Do you understand? See, this is not some craziness. This is in the Word of God. Now, I'm sorry that in our zealousy for trying to get people to pray in tongues, we put locked them in a room and put hands on them and made them feel uncomfortable and, oh, you know what, made it, you know what, it doesn't have to be that way. And I'm sorry for that if you've experienced any of that or heard of any of that. But I know what their heart was. They understood. Listen to me. Your tongue, how many know God wants every part of your body? How many God's will for you is that you walk in holiness? Come on. How many know God's will? I'm not saying you're walking in holiness now. How many know what that's God's will is that you walk in holiness? God said, be holy for I am holy. That's his will. I'm not saying we do it perfectly, but hopefully you're doing it better and better and better. But that's God's will. God's will is that you let go of this sin that so easily besets you. There's sin in your life for many of you, and it's causing you to trip up. It's going to jack up your marriage. It's going to jack up your kids. It's jacking you up, and you've got to let go of that. But to let go of that, many of you will never be able to let go of it because of your tongue. James says that your whole life is going to follow your tongue. Well, I don't know why I can't lose any weight. I just can't lose any weight. I just eat one chip and it goes right to my thighs. I just can't lose any weight. I don't know why you are talking cursing on your life. That's what I don't know. I don't talk that way. Well, you know what? These teenagers, as soon as they get a teenager, they just start going crazy. I won't talk to you. I won't talk about your teenagers that way. Never talked about my kids that way. Amen. No, my kids are serving the Lord all the days of their life. Amen. That's what my kids are doing. See, what does that have to do with tongues? The Holy Spirit wants to get a hold of your tongue. That's why Paul says, I tell you what, don't forbid anybody not to pray in tongues. We all ought to be praying in tongues every single day. I pray in tongues so much, sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night. This is a true story. Sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night and I'll just wake up and I'll just be, oh, rababe, geshebo, rababe, geshebo, randade, geshebo, rababe, geshebo. And I'm still sleeping, but I'm praying in tongues. And then I'll kind of recognize, oh, wow, I'm praying in tongues. Isn't that cool that in the middle of the night, yeah, but you don't know what you're saying. Yeah, but who cares? I said, yeah, but who cares? I said, yeah, but who cares? See, the Bible says what's happening. What's happening is the Spirit is using me. I'm praying in my spirit. They've done connection. Because they think we're nuts. They think we're nuts. They just think we're nuts. And so they're very, you know, like, it's like, what is going on here? So they hook these tongue talkers. They've done this survey many times, this study many times. But just recently they did it, and they hooked up these tongue talkers because why do they keep on doing it? Because they can't understand the results. And so they hook them up to these electrons where they can see different parts of their brain. So you know what? You're walking is a different part of your brain, and speaking is a different part of your brain. So your different part of your brain activate different things. Well, there's a place of language, and they can see when you're speaking, they can see it activating in your mind. So they hook these people up, and they say, okay, go ahead, say something. They're talking. Tell me about your family. Tell me about your family. Okay. All right, now stop and pray in tongues. Oh, Rababagesh. And the doctors are looking, and what they're tripping out on is that the electrons that are part of the language aren't being fired anymore. Well, what's going on there? You know what? You're not speaking through your mind. You're seeking through your spirit. Your spirit. You know what? We don't know. Pastor, why are you praying in tongues so much? Because we don't know what we ought to pray. See, I need to be led by the Spirit of God. That's why, remember when Jesus Christ got baptized? He got baptized by water. And after he got baptized by water, the Holy Spirit came upon him. Well, what does that sound like? That sounds exactly like what happened to the apostles, to that 120 that were up in their upper room, where he said, don't leave until the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And then he leaves, and now he's led by the Spirit of God. Oh, I don't know about you. I need some help. And if I can control my tongue, the Bible says I can control every piece, every different part of my body. Right now, I'll tell you one more story and then we'll close. I was 17 years old. I was right. There was a tree here. We were just like eight guys. We were praying. And Saturday, there was another guy going to be part of our group. And we were going to wait for him. And when he came, me and Chris Thomas were going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. But one of the leaders said, Drew, do you want to do it Saturday or do you want to do it right now? And I said, I want to do it today. See, there's something that God loves when you will believe him and that you will go at him. You're not passive, you're active. He loves that. And so right there, so the leader said, okay, when we're done with the Bible study, we'll lay hands on you and you'll be baptized. We'll baptize you in the Holy Spirit and we'll believe you'll start praying in tongues tonight. And I said, okay. Well, before the Bible study, we closed our eyes and we were praying. We were praying. And they were praying. They were loud prayers. Oh, they were praying. And right then, Jesus Christ baptized me in the Holy Spirit. And I started praying. And I started these syllables going, and what can Satan do when you start doing that? All he can do is, you're crazy. That doesn't even make sense. No, that's all he has. He only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And the only way he can do that is the same thing that he did when you got born again. You know you're not really born again. He's lying to you. He's a liar. And he tried to lie to me, but I knew too much. I was like, no, I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I'm speaking with tongues. And you know what? But those guys were so busy praying that they didn't pay any attention to me. And after they got done, they put me in the middle of the circle and they lay hands on me and they said, Drew, now we're going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. And I was just 17. I was kind of shy and I thought, I don't even want to tell them, guys, you're about an hour and a half late. Because Jesus Christ is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. Pastor, how long does it take? It doesn't take long at all. All you have to do is open up your heart and open up your mouth. Open up your heart and open up your mouth. Ask the Holy Spirit right now, today. Here's a thought. How many would like to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit right now? How many would like to receive? Raise your hand. Don't be shy. Raise your hand. Oh, look at that. All over. Okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray. And Jesus is going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit right now. Right now. And then what's going to happen? And then I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. And then you're going to hear these syllables come out. Now, you got to take some instruction. You can't close your mouth. How many can talk in English without breathing? Here, let's try it. Hold your breath. Okay, let's try it in Spanish. Spanish? See, no language works that way. You have to breathe and you have to... let's try it like this. How many can speak in English but not move your lips or your tongue? Okay, let's try. Ready? One, two, three, go. All right, let's try it in Spanish. One, two, three, go. The same is true with the heavenly language. It's got to be your lips and your mouth and your breath. But as those syllables come out, I'm telling you what. That's the Spirit of God giving you something divine, supernatural. Okay. For those of you who, let's stand up to our feet. Let's everybody stand up to our feet. Okay. You say, Pastor, I didn't raise my hand, but I want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Just ask God. Say this with me. For those of you who want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, or maybe there's some of you were baptized in the Holy Spirit, but you're not used to flowing in the gifts of the Spirit. You don't do it every day. You don't do it every month. You do it every once in a while, sometimes on a Sunday during worship, but you hardly ever do it. Listen, For those of you who are on that group, or those of you who want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, I want you to raise your hand and say, Jesus, you are the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. Baptize me right now by the Holy Spirit.